Today on the Conservative Asian Podcast, we are finally fighting back. After 2 long years of bullcrap hypocrisy, and even longer than that, as our useless, feckless people in government have done nothing, finally turning the tide. All this and more on the Conservative Asian Podcast. All right, so very important and very breaking news from yesterday. I know we missed out on a lot. Happy Easter, by the way. Happy observed Easter for some of you. That was yesterday. Now, breaking news from yesterday. And it happened, about midday here. So roughly about 6 Eastern. A federal judge rules that the CDC continuing its mask mandate is unconstitutional, unlawful. So, this was done by federal district judge Catherine Kimball Mizell. This is a Trump-appointed federal judge who called the mandate unlawful and vacated the requirement, writing, quote, because our system does not permit agencies to act unlawfully, even in pursuit of desirable ends, the court declares unlawful and vacates the mask mandate. Holy shpamoli. If that's all it took, if that's all it ever took was for one federal judge to deem it unlawful and everything was just back to normal, we should have done that since 2020. Now, just to be clear, it is a victory, it is a win, only in that in perpetuity, the Biden administration, the CDC, TSA, whoever bullcrap acronym, alphabet soup you want to put in there, can no longer institute another stay of the mandate or extension of the mandate. Okay, that's very important because that's what they were looking at. The mandate for travel was supposed to end yesterday. Except that it wasn't going to end because they were going to extend it into May, into the middle of May. Okay, another 15 days before the 15 days before the 15 days. It's been almost 500 days of 15 days to slow the spread, right? And we talked about this before. So we should celebrate because it is a win in the idea that I guarantee you they were planning to extend the travel another quote-unquote 2 weeks. And it's not even a secret. They said that they were going to do it. So big win yesterday. Big win for freedom. Which is ironic because we're fighting for freedom against people who don't want to be free. It's weird. It's a weird paradox. It's a weird paradigm. But very positive news. And again, that's striking when the iron is hot. I understand. Look, we've put up with 2 years of this bullcrap when it could have been over. It could have been over just last year. It could have been over in 2021 with the vaccines. We could have been back to normal. We could have had a raging, roaring economy. We could have had all these things happen. But no. No. So, speaking of airlines and transport and travel, videos circulating the internet of people celebrating, cheering, flight attendants ecstatic over the idea that they no longer have to wear face masks. And in fact, in mid-flight, pilots were over the intercom announcing to the entire flight cabin, masks no longer necessary, and loud cheering. And again, look, you don't want to be that way. You want to keep your mask on. We've been saying this since the beginning. You do you. Keep your damn mask on. We don't care. But just because you want it doesn't mean that I should have to do it. That's stupid. It's idiotic. That's why even walking around now, like we haven't had a mask mandate, quote unquote, mask mandate here for about, since the beginning of April, I think, here or there. And people are still wearing their masks. And again, credit where credit is due. You are committed in believing that. Okay. But why? 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 That stupid meme. Anyway, and I still love the look that I get from people when I'm walking around without my mask and they're looking at me like I'm diseased. I'm a leper. It's fun. It's fun. In my current workplace, unfortunately, the mask mandate was supposed to end in March. And unfortunately, the powers that be in my new workplace extended it for another 2 weeks. And I'm sitting there like, why? Why? You haven't reported a quote-unquote close contact since February. Why are we still doing this? So finally, this past weekend was the expiration of the self-imposed, quote-unquote, mask mandate, quote-unquote. Nope. First day, went into work, free as a bird. It's great. It's wonderful. It's fabulous. People need to understand. Facial recognition and facial expression matters. Now, speaking of airlines and all this kind of stuff, it was Easter weekend, Resurrection Sunday, and there is a video that was circulating about a worship, quote unquote, that was happening on a airline in the middle of the flight. In the middle of a flight, and we have a clip of it right here. Now, there's nothing too wrong with that, I don't think. Well, except for the fact that, you know, if you're not Christian, then I could see it being a little bit off-putting if you're a-religious, for example, or if you're whatever, or you're of a different religion, for example. I could see it being off-putting. A little bit of the backstory is that this flight was supposed to be heading out towards Ukraine on a mission, a Christian mission or something like that. They were out there going to volunteer and help with the refugees from Ukraine. And, okay, you know, I dig it. I dig it, especially if the majority of people on that flight are Christian or you know, as a group thing and whatever. Yeah, all good, all good. Right, especially on Easter Sunday, you know. The one time where almost everybody acknowledges Easter in some way, shape, or form. Maybe not in the complete religious aspect of things and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but definitely the pageantry. Definitely the celebration and even the monikers and I am icons, so to speak, of Easter. So somebody who's an anti-Semite, Ilhan Omar, tweeted out a response saying, quote, "I think my family and I should have a prayer session next time I am on a plane. How do you think it will end?" Go for it. The irony is that for many people who actually practice the Muslim faith, right? For many of those people, on many flights in the region and in the area and in the country, they actually do. They actually play over the speakers on the plane, the call to prayer, if the flight just happens to be, you know, during that time, and depending on the country that it's flying to, right? It's not a problem at all. In fact, you could even do so privately. In fact, many a times, you know, from going from here to California is already a 5-6 hour flight. So what else is there to do? You can sleep, you can watch movies, you can read, you can play games, whatever. Right? So a lot of the time, right, you need to cycle through because it's just not possible sometimes, right? So, of course, I've been on airplanes, read my Bible. I've been on airplanes with a devotional book. I've been on airplanes with Christian books. We've been on planes where we've prayed for safety right before takeoff, you know? We've prayed in the middle of trips for, you know, protection so we get to our destination safely. We've done all of those things. Ain't nothing wrong with that. My private time or with me and my wife or if we're with a group, you know, sometimes we'll extend, you know, do we make a big deal out of it? No, not really. Prayer can be both corporate and private. Worship can be both corporate and private, as it should, right? So it's fascinating to say that, you know, I mean, Ilhan Omar, she's anti-Christian, she's anti-Israel, she's everything in the book when it comes to that portion. This kind of bravery, which I admit I lack as well, right? It is very important. This outward expression of your faith is very important. And what's challenging is, or I should say what's disappointing, is that there isn't more of these kinds of things. Even within my own, like, my own congregation, right, it's depressing a little. It's discouraging. When even in the irony about our journey through these last 2 years is that I have found more encouragement from Christians who I just met who are battling the same battle that we are than I have from people within my own church. That's a little bit concerning. That I think I spoke on this show before is that should our church ever within the last 2 years have decided to force us to do something outside of the Bible and outside of our own private beliefs, we were gonna leave. No question about it. We would have walked out of there that day. No questions asked. I would have just left. We would have both just left. That is how important this all is. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. There's a clear difference between the reality and faith, right? And a lot of the times, or one of the biggest complaints is that politics has taken over Christianity. But that's not true. That's the opposite of what it is. It's the idea that the politics is realigning itself with its origin, so to speak. Right? So anyway, Ilhan Omar got blasted over Twitter out of this because, and then she, she all kinds of comments. For example, like Ann Coulter saying, there are dozens of Muslim countries in the world where you might feel more comfortable. Ali Beth Stuckley, quote, Ilhan Omar asks how people would react if her Muslim family sang their worship songs on a plane. I don't know, but it's got to be better than the reaction to Christian worship in her home country of Somalia, where Christians are slaughtered for praying in public. Follow-up tweet, yeah, the situation might be a little more understandably tense, but Muslims are afforded equal freedom in the United States to worship and speak as they please. Try just being a religious minority in a majority Muslim country. You face imprisonment and death. All of this completely true. Ben Shapiro with the best response, you can't whine about public practice of your religion, then demand respect for the public practice of your religion. As a religious Jew, this country is better with more of this, not less. So, Ilhan Omar, the irony too with Ilhan Omar is that I've never seen her, and it's, again, her own private whatever, but I've never seen her practice the things that she says that she is. I've never seen her, you know, I've seen her use her religion as a cudgel, much in the same way people complain about Christianity and some Christians and Catholics out there, that they use their religion as a cudgel. Again, you're more than likely to leave. You're more than likely to leave. And just think, you can leave the country wearing your hijab and without a mask. We'll be right back. In other news, as we continue to win the war, popular social media account Libs of TikTok has just been doxxed. This morning, the owner of the account Libs of TikTok has been doxxed by the Washington Post. Okay, so, Washington Post writer Taylor Lorenz has released an article doxing the owner of Libs of TikTok. Now, the reason that we know that it was going to happen was because Taylor Lorenz, the author, said she plans to release a story about the anonymous person who runs Libs of TikTok account and was seeking comment from Governor DeSantis. The irony is that Taylor Lorenz did an interview earlier with MSNBC saying that she denounced online harassment. In fact, the very thing that she has time and time again participated in of her own doing. So, they noted that Lorenz went through all of the old Twitter handles of Libs of TikTok and eventually found real name confirmed with a Travis Brown, who is a software developer who posted a thread of the account's Twitter history and profile changes. If you've never seen Libs of TikTok, it's a great account. All it does is it reposts liberals and the dumb crap that they say and do. That's all it is. The scary thing, right, is that this can happen to you, to me, and this whole show. It's amazing. It is amazing. Like, it's disgusting. Really, it's disgusting that the account Libs of TikTok, which has about 663,000 followers, update, you know, saying she's safe, or, you know, yeah. Again, very, very disgusting. The lengths that some people will go to. This is pure, complete sociopath. Like Taylor Lorenz, everybody should know that name, Taylor Lorenz, and should never deal with that person ever again. In fact, there's a lot of people in the mainstream media who should not ever be a part of. And again, the stupidest thing is that nobody is telling you, you gotta follow this account, you gotta watch this account, you gotta look at the things. And the irony is that they're not creating the content. This account, like many other accounts out there, all they're doing is reposting what things are being said. That's the craziest part. Like, who, what, is it that, is the owner of the account responsible for the craziness of liberals? No. All that person is doing is deciding, look, hey, this sounds dumb. Let's just share it. Isn't that social media in a nutshell? Isn't it? Unbelievable. Scary, by the way, scary. Taylor Lorenz should be fired. Actually, she should go to jail. And whoever is the account owner of Libs of TikTok should sue her to oblivion. That's the appropriate thing. That's the most appropriate thing possible. Actually, death penalty for Taylor Lorenz should be possible. That's what it is. Speaking of social media, more drama again with Twitter. Now that this group Vanguard, and this happened last week, but Vanguard something or other came out saying that they were going to increase or buy even more than Elon Musk proposed for Twitter. And all of this just goes to show you that Twitter is more concerned with themselves than their shareholders. And that's the problem. When you go public, you're not accountable to the board. The board is accountable to the public. Because the board doesn't own Twitter. The shareholders do. And since Elon Musk became the largest shareholder at 9%, he can basically direct them to do whatever they want. Now, a couple of things have come out. That Vanguard group, run by some other shady corporations, decided to quote-unquote outbid Elon Musk in his attempt to buy shares. And so I think they bought 10.1% of the shares or something like that. So, whatever, right? Now, what's happening with Twitter is that they're doing, I guess this is a common thing, but what's called a poison pill. So, as far as I understand it, the poison pill means that they're going to water down the value of the stock in order to allow new shares or allow existing shareholders to buy them at discount. Right? So, this poison pill is going to be activated, quote unquote, activated once an individual or a group of people working together buy 15% or more of Twitter's shares. Now, I don't know what that means if Elon Musk can't buy another 5% of the shares. You know, like, he's already got 9.2, so why not let him get another 6%? In a tweet, somebody posted the board members of Twitter, which is public knowledge, and you can see who owns what percentage of stock. And on this 11-member board so far, Jack Dorsey, who stepped down last year, he owned a whopping 2.253% of Twitter. He beats out every single other board member by almost 1,000%. That is how outrageous this all is. And just think that even with their shares combined, including with Jack Dorsey, it does not come close to the 9% that Elon Musk owns. So, all of this happening very rapidly, very interesting, very intriguing, in order for corrections to be made, in order to let people wake up and see. Now, I'm not a big Twitter user just because they were the smallest of the big three. In fact, Snapchat was more popular than Twitter. And so it's just, I don't know. Whatever. Like, good if it does, because, you know, what we should do is just get rid of Twitter. Just delete it and let it come back to let it build another one. I don't know. Whatever. Elon Musk can do it. Anyway. Here locally, one of the biggest stories, which is ironic, is that our very own United States Representative Kai Kahele, freshman representative Kai Kahele, hula, hula, the first quote-unquote Native Hawaiian to be elected into quote-unquote federal government position, quote-unquote. Not really. I mean, you had Dan Akaka. You had, yeah, anyway, this I gotta do that. Anyway, Kai Kahele's in a little bit of trouble. What? Really? No. What? Not Kai Kahele. Not Hawaii's boy. Yeah. Oh. Kai Kahele, elected by the people of Hawaii to represent Hawaii in our federal government, has not been in office. And what I mean by that is he has not been in the United States House of Representatives for a majority of the time. Okay, I think I was trying to look for it. There has been, that Kai Kahele has not been reporting to work in person since 2021. Hawaiian Airlines has given Kai Kahele some special treatment. Because, nothing. Kai Kahele wasn't there for his boy, Joe Biden's State of the Union address. He was the only member not to be with the FTA to talk about the $10 billion rail project. He wasn't there for the House Armed Services Committee. In just this year alone, Kai Kahele has casted 5 votes in person. Yep. He allowed a proxy to vote for him, meaning that he could stay here on the Big Island. Since the beginning of this year, House voting records show Kai Kahele voted by proxy more than all but 3 times. More than all but 3 of his 429 colleagues. Sorry, I read that wrong. Huh. So, what are we doing? Why are we using him? Oh, voting by proxy due to, quote, ongoing public health emergency. Except that his social media accounts show him traveling around Hawaii, in between islands, meeting with officials. Of course he is. And to top it all off, Kai Kahele is still being paid by Hawaiian Airlines. He is still getting a salary from Hawaiian Airlines. Hawaiian Airlines that recently posted that they'd have to cancel flights because they don't have enough pilots and staff. I wonder why. It's because they fired all of the people who didn't go along with their stupid vaccine mandate. So now Hawaiian Airlines is shooting themselves in the foot, like we said before, because they don't have the personnel, because they let them all go, because they thought, oh, we're going to force everybody to do... I hope Hawaiian Airlines goes bankrupt. If that's the case. Hawaiian Airlines and Airline Pilots Association, which is the national labor union that represents companies' pilots, crafted a new leave policy that would allow the first-term congressman to maintain his flight status, seniority, and longevity. Okay? Some people who wanted to stay anonymous said that this is favoritism. And it is. It absolutely is. House ethics rules limit the amount of outside income a member of Congress can earn. There is also a potential conflict of interest when Kaikahele acts on legislation that ultimately benefits his employer. No. Really? Really? Kaikahele's been in the government for almost a year and a half now. And only now we're discovering this? Really? Oh. Idiots. Unbelievable. Yep. Yep. Kaikahele's office said that he earned he supposedly, allegedly earned $29,151.79 while flying for Hawaiian Airlines in 2021. And $2,861.90 so far flying in 2022 for flying 14.2 hours. House ethics rules say that a member of Congress cannot earn more than roughly about $30,000 from an outside employer. Yep, Kaikahele's office defended his time away from Washington, telling CNN that he lives in a multi-generational family household in Hawaii and is worried about the new coronavirus variants. Except on that same day, the congressman posted a video on Facebook in which he was maskless in an airport, playing an ukulele, as he waited to catch a flight to Kauai, where he then met with dozens of community members and posed for photos with constituents, including groups of high school students. Oh! Shock! Ah! Oh! Ha! Ah. Oh, Kaikahele, it was so good. Unbelievable. Now, this has brought up a very good and a very important point. Kaikahele is not the first. You got people like Ige, Caldwell, Josh Green. They're all earning a salary outside of their government salary. Josh Green keeps touting that he's an ER doctor. Kirk Caldwell held the seat on the board at Territorial Savings Bank. It is no wonder. It is no surprise. So here's the solution. Because look, folks. Being a politician, the reality is a politician is a part-time job. You show up for about 4 months out of the year, sign some bills, pass some laws, and you're done. You're done. That's it. Pow. Yet they're being paid $80,000, $90,000. Some people are being paid hundreds of thousands of dollars just to do that much. For what? So, my proposal, since my name is going to be thrown into the ring very soon, I would like to keep my job. So, here's the deal. I get to keep my status. I get to keep my status. I get to keep my years of service, my benefits, all of those kinds of things. And you just don't pay me for the time that I'm in the legislature or for the time that I'm doing my job. You just don't pay me. I will gladly take leave without pay in order to do it so that I can go back to my regular job. Because being a politician should not be a full-time job. Ever. Come in. Do what you were elected to do. Be done. Not some bullcrap photo op. Not some bullcrap community BS that you don't even believe in. No. Do the job. Hear from your constituents. Present that to the rest of your colleagues. You craft the bill. Everybody votes. You share that vote. You say that these people didn't vote for it. And then you go home. And then you go back to your regular job. Period. Done. I am amazed that left-wing, bullcrap, mainstream media, Civil B, which wasn't supposed to be mainstream media, by the way, I am amazed that they ran with this story. Thoroughly amazed. This has been the Conservative Asian Podcast, and we'll catch you guys next time. We'll be right back.